And we're going to continue our discussion on synchronicity. Cynthia Cavalli up next on Coast to Coast AM with us. Okay, looking forward to this hour. Cynthia Cavalli is with us, shamanistic dream and synchronicity coach, corporate systems wizard. She's a life strategist. Her background includes a blend of education and experience in psychology. She's been an aerospace engineer. Just a list of credentials, Cynthia, you have. Welcome to the program.
Well,
I mean, Yes. You've done it all. You've been an intuitive healer. You've done it all.
Well, I haven't done it all.
Have
but,
I missed
know,
anything?
You're saying that.
When you were in the aerospace business, did you ever think that you would be doing this kind of work now?
You know, I hoped, but I feel really fortunate to have the chance to do this kind of work now. It has been such a privilege and such a fulfilling journey, and I just feel really, really lucky. And I enjoyed aerospace engineering, but, I really am enjoying this much more.
Any big projects that you worked on that we might know about in the aerospace industry?
Yeah. There was a comet. No, it was a satellite. There was an errant satellite from, I think, China.
China. They blew it up. Is that the one they blew up?
Right, and I worked on the
blowing it
missile
up.
That blew that up.
Oh, really?
So that was one of the ones that I worked on.
And now we have shreds and pieces all over the place up there.
I know. We have a lot of debris up there that we are going to have to do something about. We'll have to figure that out.
Do you think we're going to have space wars?
I think that's quite possible. You mean with...
Other nations.
Other nations or other beings?
Do you know anything about the other beings?
I did. I was. Just
have you just? Have we just stumbled into something with you?
No big secrets there. Space wars with other nations. I don't know. I don't know about that. I haven't thought about that recently. It seems we're going to have to figure out how to allocate space in space, and how nations are going to have to figure out what part of space belongs to who. But and I hope it doesn't come to wars, because I don't think any of us will really win there.
No, I don't think so. Now, what about what you just said, ET possibilities? What's out there? Have you heard anything?
No, I haven't heard anything. I've heard a lot of speculation about whether or not we should be so friendly, whether we should put out so much information or be broadcasting or be looking so openly to make contact. I've heard a lot of, there seem to be several camps, but one camp feels that there's a real threat to our security as human beings, and the other camp feels that if other beings have the technology and the knowledge to find us, that they would also have evolved to a higher level and not be so warlike the way we tend to be.
Or maybe worse.
Yeah, so there's the camp that feels that they might be worse, and then there's the camp that feels that they would be more evolved.
Very
so,
benevolent.
We don't really know, I think, or maybe some people have had experiences, but I haven't, and so, for me, the jury's still out.
Yeah, physicist Stephen Hawking says, don't let them know we're here.
Yes, I've heard that. I tend to favor the idea that they would be more evolved, and part of the reason for that is because I have heard, I don't know people personally who've had UFO experiences, just a few, but not in depth, but I have done a lot of research in near-death experiences, and there are quite a few people who've had experiences there that deal with other worlds, and so it seems like even though they may not be not always more evolved, that at least there's some safety there. There's a safety net. There's some distance, and there seem to be some universal laws to keep us in a safer place. But who knows? In centuries to come, that might be different.
Well, with Cynthia Cavalli, and we're talking about her work. Did I pronounce your last name correctly?
You did,
all right, very, very good. How did you make this transition from being an aerospace engineer into studying things that are so esoteric and
I was always interested I've been interested in everything, and my main interest, even as a little girl, was in the nature of reality and how did the world get to be the way it is and how did humans get to be the way that they were. And I was raised in a very fundamentalist Christian home, and so, you know, the answer was always that, well, God created the world this way. And at some point, that, you know, I felt that wasn't quite enough, and I wanted to know, well, if God did it, how did God do it? I want to know. I want to know how God thinks. And so I studied physics, and physics didn't quite go far enough. It tells you about the world, but it doesn't really get to why. And so then I became interested in psychology and Jungian psychology more specifically. And but meanwhile, I found a job as an aerospace engineer, and so that's what I did for 30 years.
Paid the bills, didn't it?
Paid the bills, that's exactly right. And it also got me interested in systems, studying systems, and so I worked as a system engineer, and I studied systems thinking and system dynamics, and became interested in complexity, and, you know, and so I lived kind of different lives. So in my private life, I was really interested in Jung and Jungian concepts, and then at work, I was interested in systems and how they came together. And then when I got laid off from engineering, it was the perfect opportunity to pursue a doctorate, and I was pursuing it in human systems and human and organizational systems. And I thought, well, you know, I could do the dissertation on anything. I am going to study synchronicity. So I did, and it blew my mind. I mean, it really changed. It changed a lot.
All right, let's get your definition, Cynthia, of synchronicity. What do you say it is?
So the simplest way that I can, the way that I use it most, Jung's definition was more involved. But the easiest way that I've used it is to say that it is when you have an inner content, such as an inner event, such as a dream, a thought, a premonition, or an image, that is matched in outer reality by some event. So, for example, and there's no way that the one caused the other. So there's no causal connection between the two. So, for example, a therapist I know, and I gave this example in the little video clip that I shared. A therapist that I know had a client who was coming to him for relationship problems, but he never could seem to grasp how much trouble his marriage was in. And the therapist, in exasperation, finally said, you know, threw up his hands and said, "Your marriage is like a car wreck." And as he said the words "car wreck," there was a car accident right outside the office.
Oh.
And it really shook the client. The client was very badly shaken up, and, you know, the message finally got through. And so that's an example of how, that's one example of synchronicity. And they're not always simultaneous like that. They can be separated in time, but they have that kind of impact. And it's so improbable that, you know, the therapist didn't make the car crash happen, and the car crash didn't make him say those
words.
Could be
intuition, too.
Yes, they felt it. Absolutely.
I was telling Gary, I do not believe in coincidences. I happen to think things happen for a reason. People are drawn together. It's not to say that we don't have luck or things happen. I just don't believe in coincidences. I think that things happen for a reason. What do you think?
I don't know what an accident would look like, because maybe there are some things that just happen and they don't tie in ultimately, but most of the things in life, I think, and that was one of the things that came out of my research, life just isn't random the way that I had thought. There isn't that degree of randomness that I had been taught in my scientific training. there really does seem to be something like purpose and fate and these threads weave together, and it's really quite wonderful.
Now, some people believe in regular coincidence. What are they? I mean, it either is or it isn't. What's regular coincidence?
So there's simple coincidences, and then there are meaningful coincidences. So that's how I distinguish just regular coincidences from meaningful ones. So a simple coincidence, you probably wouldn't even consider this a coincidence. So if I happen to sneeze when an airplane is passing by, there's no connection.
I would just say that was, it happened.
Right. It just does, it doesn't have any meaning
no
or
meaning
anything
at all.
To it.
It just happened.
Right. And it's there's no special thing to read into that. So that's kind of the distinction. There's things that happen all the time, and they happen together. And there's not necessarily a meaning or pattern that you can discern in those kinds of things. But in a meaningful coincidence, there is. So as in the case of the car wreck example, where the words and the event matched, even though they had nothing to do with each other.
What about the ability to manifest something? How would you categorize that?
The ability to manifest...
Anything.
Anything? Well, so the thing about synchronicities is that they kind of happen outside us and outside of our will, and they happen outside of our ego control. So they're really a force of nature, I would say, and that's what's so striking about them. So I think, a lot of people have the idea about manifesting your life and creating intentions and then manifesting out of that intention. And that is a real phenomenon, but it's different than what synchronicity is about. So it's definitely, people do it all the time. You create an intention, you create a plan, and you have the idea that, you put your energy towards that, and then you make it happen, and you manifest your life in that way. But there is still an aspect of life that is outside of that kind of ability to have an intention. That nevertheless has to do with our fate and our purpose.
Well, and you mentioned intention. Where does that really fit into the scheme of things here? Do we have that ability to make things happen? We've done, for example, I think, pretty successful intention experiments. We've made it rain, we've made it stop, we've changed things, sometimes out of control. We weren't able to control it, so rains became tropical storms and things like that. Well, what do you think of intention with this?
So when you say we made it rain, George?
We did a collective consciousness experiment here on the show.
Okay. And oh, so, really? Okay. I didn't know about that. Oh, that's very fascinating.
And even though I think one person can do it as well as millions, we did it with millions of people.
Yeah, and I know that there have been, I'm more familiar with the experiments that have been done around reducing crime, with...
Yeah, Lynn McTaggart did that.
Like that, yes. Well, I definitely think it's a real thing. It's just a different thing than synchronicity. And... The thing about synchronicities is that you can't make them happen, and you can't plan them. You can't, those you really can't manifest. However, they still tell you, so even though you can make an intention about the rain can still come without you making an intention. You know what I mean? It's something natural. It's a force of nature. And so maybe that's not a great example, but the synchronicities, I'm trying to stress that aspect of nature. And here's maybe this will help. The research that I did indicated that synchronicities really are more plentiful around really big times of change.
Explain that.
So if you are going through a divorce, for example, there has been the death of somebody close to you.
A life-altering event, your health,
right.
Something.
Loss of a job, loss of whatever crisis you might find yourself. It's
something,
very often crisis.
Some kind of tragedy.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be a bad thing, but just something major. Very often it'll be around something major. You'll find that, well, and I don't know if you've had this experience, George, but I certainly have, where, you know, I just felt like the world was falling away under my feet, and I didn't know what I was going to do. And in that not knowing place, these synchronicities would pop up, and they would sometimes be very, very uncanny. I would have an idea that something was going to happen, and then it would happen right away, or I would have dreams. I work with dreams a lot, and I keep a journal, and in this one particular year where everything changed, I lost my home, I lost my job, and then I got a new home and got a new job and a husband, and in that year I kept a record of all my dreams, and nearly every single one literally came true. So they were precognitive dreams. And those kind of synchronicities as well. I didn't know that when I had the dreams that they were going to come true. It didn't help me in that way. You know what I mean? It wasn't like I could play the lottery and win or something like that. But looking backwards, I could see that my life wasn't random, and it wasn't as hopeless as it felt, that actually there was something guiding me, and it brought enormous comfort. And it helps me the next time I'm going through some uncertainty, I can say, well, you know, even though I don't know right now what's happening, it's okay because something is happening, and it's okay. It's part of my fate. It's part of my life.
But you don't think we can control synchronicity. It just happens.
Right. We cannot control synchronicities. That doesn't mean we can't control other things, but we can't. Because synchronicities are a force of nature. But that's part of what's so remarkable about them, is because, you know, there are synchronicities. So I'll give you this example, and I'm sure the listeners have similar examples. There was a book on gardening using nature spirits, the devas, and it was called The Garden Workbook 1, and it was by Michelle Smallwright. Anyway, I really was interested in working with a garden in this way. I was really curious, and I didn't have a lot of experience with it, and I wanted to try. And I could not find that book anywhere. I looked, and this was in the late 90s, so, you know, things weren't on. I don't think there was an Amazon yet, or if there was, it was very small.
Right.
And I looked for about 3 months, and then I kind of thought, well, I want it, but I don't know how to get it, so I gave up. And one morning, I woke up and said to my husband, you know what, I have to go to the used bookstore today. And he's like, well, okay. And I didn't really know why I was going, and I went, and I had kind of forgotten about the gardening workbook, but I went, and I didn't know why I was there, so I just went and sat in the section, and it happened to be the gardening section, and I didn't know what I was doing there, and I leaned forward, and I thought, well, okay, I'll just drape my arm across the books and run my fingers across their spines, and I did, and it stopped on this one book, and I pulled it towards me, and it was the gardening workbook. It was the gardening workbook 1 that I had been looking so hard to. I can't tell you how it felt. I felt like the universe knew something about me.
Well, that's important. Maybe it did.
Well, and yet it felt inexplicable, you know, it felt inconceivable, and yet I still didn't get up. You know, I felt blessed. I felt like I got a kiss from God, kind of, you know, a nod from God. And then, and I wasn't getting up, and so I thought, well, I'll do it again. So I did it again, and my finger rested on a spiral-bound notebook, and I pulled it out, and it was a gardening workbook, too, and I didn't even know that there were two. And it was just really remarkable, you know. So I felt, okay, I should be working with these books, and I'll do that. And I did. I proceeded to work with them. And I know a lot of my friends have stories like this, and they live like this, where they take direction in their lives.
Let's talk more about synchronicity with you, Cynthia, when we come back. It is amazing how it does work. Beyond Belief is our television program. It is a dandy, very fast-growing streaming internet program, and you can watch it by going to this website, beyondbelief.com. Sign up, find out why so many people are doing it. Record subscriptions last week. Record subscriptions. Just go to beyondbelief.com. And welcome back to Coast. Cynthia Cavalli is with us as we talk about synchronicity. Cynthia, tell me how you met up with Gary.
Well, he actually attended I belong to the Orange County Jung Association, and he came to a lecture that was being given there, and that was where we met. And I found out that he was the organizer for the Synchronicity Symposium for 2014. Unfortunately, my husband and I couldn't attend because my husband was presenting at a conference in Cambridge, University of Cambridge in England. And so I was so disappointed. I couldn't believe that I had waited so long for something like that to happen. And then
and
I
you couldn't make it.
but we kept the conversation going, and when this webinar series that he's giving came up, he invited me to co-host with him, and I was very happy to say yes.
Well, good. He's a good guy and knows the subject matter. He'll be joining us for phone calls next hour with you, with our many listeners.
Yes.
I'd like, before we get rolling into synchronicity again, if you could give us a story of synchronicity, how it might have occurred, so we can flow into some more questions with you.
Okay. So before I give you I'll give an example, but let me just say this. I was thinking about what you were asking in the last few minutes before we went to break about, can we make synchronicities happen? Mm-hmm. And part of the way that synchronicity works, as we can understand it, it's the idea that psyche and matter are actually two different sides of a unified phenomenon, or a single thing, the same fabric. And so that's kind of what's happening. And psyche, as Jung, so I'll talk about it a little bit later. But psyche has different levels, and the unconscious, there's a lot going on in the unconscious that becomes activated by the things we say and do. And so that's a little bit what's going on. We can't make it happen, but we can witness. And when I say we can't make it happen, I'm talking about the ego self. So for an example, and then they also fall along, there's like a spectrum of synchronicity. So you can have very simple, meaningful coincidences at one end, and then really huge, transformative ones at the other end of the spectrum. So here's an example. A friend of mine she had her family, and they were at home, and they were, it was thinking about getting ready for bed, and they had the TV on, and it said that there was a storm coming. And, you know, a lot of times, just for fun, when there was a storm, they would all sleep in the master bedroom together, her husband and the dogs and the kids. And they would all pile in the bed, and it would be kind of like this big adventure. And so she was thinking, oh, if there's a storm coming, we can do that. You know, that'll be kind of fun. And for some reason this time, she thought to go upstairs and get her purse and her jewelry out of the safe, and she didn't know why she was doing any of that. And she said, kids, let's, you know, we're all going to sleep in the same room tonight, and the dogs are going to be with us. And they were all excited about it. And she said, well, let's not sleep upstairs in the master bedroom like we usually do. Let's stay in the guest room. So they stayed downstairs, and for some reason she didn't even put her pajamas on. She just kept her street clothes on. And she had no idea why she was doing any of this. She just did it, and she thought, well, okay, I don't know why. And she didn't question it. And in the middle of the night, about 3 o'clock in the morning, they heard what sounded like a freight train going through their house. And they all woke up, and it was pitch black. They had lost power.
Yeah.
And they tried to go up the stairs, and they couldn't because something was obstructing them.
Oh, man.
And because she had the foresight to keep her handbag with her, they had the keys, and they had to go out the front and down the driveway to get to her husband's car. And they drove to her parents' house, and that's where they spent the night. And in the morning, they came back to the house, and the big giant oak tree had fallen right
through the house.
The bedroom. they would have been dead, all of them.
Unbelievable.
And, yeah, and there's, you know, there's no causal explanation. I mean, you can't...
Now, is that intuitiveness, though?
Well, you could say intuitiveness, but what was she intuiting?
She felt something could happen, I guess, without knowing what it would be, so she avoided certain things?
Well, yeah, that's possible. You know, but her cognitive mind didn't know. You know, she didn't have, if somebody had said, why are you doing that? She would have said, I don't know. You know what I'm saying? So yeah, you could say that it was intuition, but it's not the same kind of intuition when I'm trying to figure something out and someone comes to me and I have a sense about them. You know what I mean? That's a little bit different than when I'm just doing something.
Well,
I don't know
and
why
some
I'm
people
doing
are good at
all.
That. Other people aren't. Some people are good at judging other people.
Right, exactly. So she, what really made that story compelling is that, so they ended up, their house was a disaster, and they ended up, you know, it took a couple years to go through all the insurance company and all the claims and get it fixed up, and they ended up selling it. They ended up selling it, and they ended up buying property, and they ended up turning their home into a horse sanctuary, and it just turned out to be, like, the best thing that ever happened to them. And, you know, it was horrible when it happened, but their life, it changed their lives. And they never would have moved otherwise, and they never would have found this property that they were somehow able to, they wouldn't have been otherwise able to afford. And the horse property was a dream come true. And, you know, that's also something that happens in synchronicities, especially the major ones. They're so transformative, and then they catapult you into, like, another life, another level of life. It's almost like a different life, and it's quite phenomenal.
I used to have, when I was running a television news station in St. Louis, incredible intuition in terms of hiring talent, reporters, and anchor people. And I had what I called, Cynthia, the five-second rule. And that was, I looked at their videotape that they sent in, that was part of their resume, and if in 5 seconds I didn't get an impression from that tape, from that reporter or that anchor person, I didn't hire them. And everyone that I did hire, everyone passed that five-second rule, and every one of them went on to bigger jobs, or they stayed 20-plus years at TV stations in St. Louis, which is unheard of. And all of that based on my intuition of what I call my five-second rule.
Wow. So, you know, it sounds like, so that I wouldn't call that synchronicity. I would call that intuition.
Yes.
And I, while they're not the same thing, they're not unrelated, right? I mean, you're drawing on some aspect of knowledge and knowing that's not cognitive, and synchronicity and the way synchronicity works is not cognitive either. So you're out of the cognitive realm, out of the rational realm. You're in kind of a different arena now. So they have those qualities in common. Synchronicity, I think, is even wilder. And you know, this example might be an example of intuition, although she didn't seem to express any sense of impending danger. She was just doing these things, you know. She wasn't afraid. She wasn't thinking about the storm being a bad storm or anything. It was just something that they did.
But something told her to do what she did.
So, you know, some people might say it was certainly my religious upbringing.
I mean, let me tell you about my story personally. I've told it on this program several times, and you tell me what you think it is. I think it's intuition.
Okay.
I'm driving down toward the intersection of a four-street light intersection. I've got the green light. You're supposed to go through the intersection, right? There are cars behind me. I have this feeling not to go through the intersection. Something's telling me, George, don't do it. Don't go through the intersection. I'm fighting with myself, Cynthia, because you're supposed to go. You've got a green light. You got people behind you.
Right.
Something said, don't do it. I pulled over. I stopped. I did not go through the intersection. Just at that point where I would have been through the right in the middle, somebody went through their red light and they would have broadsided me. They would have smacked right into me. And I looked at them go right through. They missed a car by inches. I would have gotten hit. It was the car behind me. When I pulled over, the car behind me went and just missed. Had I not pulled over, they would have gotten hit too, had they been in that spot. What was that? I think that's intuition at its best.
Well, that absolutely, that is an example of intuition. But it could also be, you know, I mean, we don't know, but it could be guardian angels. It could be that you have people watching over you and who are maybe not guardian angels specifically, but maybe family members who've passed.
Yeah,
I've heard stories like that. I think all of those are possible. But those are things you can't prove, right?
You talk about musical synchronicities. What is that? Is that like you turn on the radio, you're thinking of a song and or somebody in a song and it pops up? Is that what that is, or is that different?
Right, right. And so maybe Gary will have something more to share about musical synchronicities, but that's what I think of when I think of musical synchronicities. You or even you can even say a phrase and then a song will come on with that phrase, you know, something like that. Sometimes you'll have a favorite song, or a song will remind you of someone, and then
they call you.
Right, they call you, or you run into them, or you see them. It'll be on the radio, and then they'll call, something like that. Yeah,
I've heard a lot of cases where you think about somebody that you haven't talked about or thought about in 15 years, and you run right into them. Think you've been thinking about them, haven't thought about them in 15 years. And all of a sudden, there they are.
Right.
I mean,
right.
What the heck is that?
To that, the Rupert Sheldrake's idea of extended mind, I think, you know, and that
the wireless internet.
Knowing is not limited to our physical beings, but seems to exist in a kind of a field around us.
And we're all connected.
And we're all connected, that's right. And not just us humans, but animals and nature and, you know, and so the reason I stress that it is not that you can't make them happen, because it's a very different thing to be living out of your ego and saying, well, I control the wind and I control nature and I control this and that. And it's not accurate, first of all. It's an ego out of balance with the rest of psyche, and it's a misunderstanding of nature. And part of the challenge that we see in the world today is how out of balance everybody is. All of us are in our society, and the earth is the one taking the hit. But, you know, there are a lot of things happening that are the consequence of that being out of balance, like the ice caps melting and global warming and, you know, a lot of phenomena that we see are the result of that out of balance. And by developing a relationship with our inner selves, by recognizing that actually we are all interconnected, we can start to bring some of that back into balance. If we treat the world like it's alive, because it is.
It is alive.
Yes, absolutely. And if we treat animals like they matter, and people like they matter, and recognize that what you do to someone else, it will come back to you, that you can't do something to someone else that doesn't also impact you directly, not just indirectly. And then when you start to pay attention to yourself and who you are and gain some self-awareness and self-knowledge and, you know, face the consequences of your actions and account for them, that's when things start to shift.
How can people use synchronicity to better their own lives?
Well, so synchronicities, I'll say this first, they're value neutral, meaning that when they happen, they can be good or they can be bad. They can be positive or negative. And so when they happen, what's more helpful is to use them as a guide, just to give you information about, let's say you're in the middle of indecision. You don't know what's happening. You don't know which way is right. You don't know which way is wrong. Part of the development as part of the development of our psychology, part of our development as human beings, requires us to go into that not knowing place, that uncertain place, and puts the ego out of its control position so that it doesn't know. And then life will come in and say, okay, you can, here's a way you can go. You can't go the way you thought. You made plans and they're not happening. So come out of your ego and wait, and then life will show you one little step, and then you can take that little step. And then the synchronicity might point in another direction, so you take another little step and another little step. And that's actually what happens during the transformation process. That's what I found out in my research, is that that's how it happens. You go into this not knowing place, and it's like you're going through the transformation. You don't know what's happening. Your whole body system is getting ready for the big leap into the transformation, and you have to be in that place of not knowing. But the synchronicity can at least help you and guide you a little bit while you're there.
Well, we've got many things to talk about next hour. We'll take phone calls, and I'd like you to call us not only with questions, but synchronicity, things that have happened for you. What do you think is out there, Cynthia, that causes this wireless connection that we're all on to happen?
So I think it's probably a matter of perception that things are separate at all. And that if we could, you know, if we could see things as they really are, that we would be able to see those interconnections with everything. And that really psyche and matter are just different manifestations of the same underlying phenomenon. So, and that's the theory, you know, but when you're in this body and you're living in this life and living on Earth, it's sometimes very hard to see how that is so. But then these synchronicities happen and they throw you out of your normal way of thinking, and you think, there's something there, there's some mystery there, and I don't know what it is. And just maybe it's about something else.
Give us your website, Cynthia, if you would.
My website is www.cynthiacavalliconsulting.com.
And we've got a link up for you at coasttocoastam.com for folks who can't get to it right now, but just remember, it will be there. You have fun doing what you're doing, don't you?
I do. I love it. I love helping people make sense of the dreams and synchronicities that happen, especially when they're in that transformation cycle, and it's hard and they don't know what they're doing. They feel like they don't know what they're doing. They feel like their life is spinning out of control. But really something big is cooking, you know, getting them ready for the next big thing.
Are we feeling that next big thing? Is it coming?
For us as humanity, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't know if it's coming soon, but it's kind of, there's some things that are already in progress. I mean, the world today is so much different than just 30 years ago.
Oh, yeah. I think it's coming sooner than later. Okay, we're going to bring Gary Bobroff back in. And with you, Cynthia, we're going to take phone calls about synchronicity next.